flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Championship weekend, let's go. And to me, the expectations for the Eagles don't change just because Jalen Hurts is not 100%.
That makes no sense.
I'm Maggie Gray, he's Andrew Perloff.
And I make sense, she does not. That makes no sense. You're saying Jalen, the expectations don't change even if he's not 100%?
Yes, because here's
That's bad math.
No, it's not bad math. First of all, I had it wrong before. I thought he was a limited participant in practice yesterday. Dead wrong. Full participant in practice.
He's a quarterback. What's the difference if he's full or limited? No one's touching him.
I'm just saying they are projecting health. If you wanted to play mind games with the Commanders, if you wanted to, I don't know, if you really were worried about his knee, there's also a betting aspect to this. You really cannot lie on these injury reports, or you shouldn't. If he's a full participant, that means the knee should be sturdy enough and, enough and healthy enough to go.
There's a lot of footage of him practicing. He's wearing about 9 layers because it's cold.
Sure.
And he's moving around in the pocket. But you know, when push comes to shove, is he going to be able to run downfield? That's the part of the game that I'm worried about.
Well, listen, I feel like I've been watching football my whole life, and I've seen injury reports and guys saying they're banged up, and Patrick Mahomes is the king of this.
Don't even talk about it. He's superhuman.
Well, I've seen it with other guys, too. Trevor Lawrence, who I don't know how he's gutted through some of these games also. You don't have to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever for this to be true. Somehow guys get themselves ready to play.
But Jalen Hurts is already sometimes slow. Like, you take a little bit of explosiveness away from him, and his game has struggled. We've seen this over the last 2 years.
Okay, but the thing is that it's not like he forgot how to throw a football, okay? And it's not like...
It sure seems like the numbers say he has.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You got to win this game. There's not going to be a weather situation. Saquon Barkley is still Saquon. It still opens up things downfield. A.J. Brown he's not going to be in a library somewhere. He's going to actually be at the game. You still have Devontae Smith. You still have, we think Dallas Goedert is going to be playing. You've got your horses here.
But
you have your offensive line intact, by the way.
I don't know why, but their passing game has just not really been the same as it was 2 years ago. It's something is missing. I think maybe it's confidence. Maybe it's Hurts has gotten a little bit worse. Maybe teams have figured out Hurts' tendencies. It seems unlikely to me. Remember the Super Bowl where he went mano a mano with throws of Patrick Mahomes? That's a distant memory. Like, that Jalen Hurts is never coming back.
Yeah, I just see this. Well, you don't know that, by the way. We don't know that's never coming back. This was a snow game last week that was disruptive for everybody.
Take the Packers game. He had 40 yards going into the fourth quarter of passing.
Okay, well, the Packers defense is actually good.
That's not that good. 40 yards for an NFL quarterback in the playoffs?
Did they win the game?
They won the game because they got a fumble on the opening kickoff.
And now, only now will Perloff call that a bad call when it only helps his argument for Jalen Hurts.
No,
at the time,
you're
like, no, that was a totally fine call.
I didn't say the call was bad. I'm just saying that Hurts did not pass the ball. The passing offense has been absent most of the second half of the season.
This is the other reason why I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win here. And it's not for me. I'm not trying to be hate on the Commanders. It's a great story. I don't even know if I feel like I have to hedge this. But I'm looking at the two times they've played against the Commanders and Jayden Daniels this year. And it's been 1-1. And in both games, Jalen Hurts was compromised. The first game, he definitely got concussed, guys. And he said, somehow I passed the protocol. Like, basically, I fooled them. He's doing an interview after the game with Scott Van Pelt where he's wearing sunglasses at night. So clearly the lights, I think the TV lights were bothering him. Even Lane Johnson said he had turf in his helmet and he was taking so many hits. So him not being 100%, they still won that game by scoring 20 points in the fourth quarter and Saquon Barkley going off for 146 points. It's not like Jalen Hurts was a passing machine then. This was November. You think Jalen Hurts has been broken for a year and a half in terms of the passing game. Philadelphia won that game by 8 points. By the way, Jake Elliott missed 2 field goals and a PAT in that game. They still won. And the second game where Washington did win, that was Washington at home, where Jalen Hurts got straight up knocked out of the game early in the game with a concussion and never came back. Kenny Pickett in that game, and you still only lost by 3 points on the road. Like, you can't tell me that all of a sudden the Eagles are like this upstart project, you know, and should be the underdogs in this game. That's how you're painting them, Perloff, and that's just not right.
What? The thing is, that first game, the Commanders were kind of in control of that game. The Eagles took it over in the fourth quarter. The Commanders are a much better team than they were then. And even they're an even better team than when they beat the Eagles. I just think they're a different team now. They have much more confidence. Deami Brown has emerged as a real weapon. Terry McLaurin's just, he's on a heater. I mean, he's been unstoppable. Jaden Daniels is getting better and better, as you'd expect of a young quarterback. The other thing, too, is like you're way discounting the Hurts injury. Because if Hurts is not multidimensional, can't run, that's going to hurt his passing game. And then in the last game, when Hurts went out, Washington stacked the box and Barkley was terrible. There's just no way around it. He just couldn't get 2 yards on a carry.
Okay.
After the first quarter, he had 22 carries for 41 yards. That's awful.
Okay, but Perloff, somehow the Eagles were leading by 13 points going into the fourth quarter. So if Barkley was that bad and that awful, how did they get a 2-score lead? I'll tell you how. This is how it went down.
Right.
Jaden Daniels did throw for 5 touchdowns in that game, and he also threw 2 picks. Brian Robinson, 2 fumbles. Yeah. Deami Brown, a fumble. Marshawn Lattimore, 3 defensive pass interference penalties in that game.
Right. All luck. I mean, those are all luck metrics that are not going to go the same way. There's no way the Eagles get all that luck.
Okay. I mean, fumbles, you don't think the defense had anything to do with those turnovers?
Fumbles are not repeatable. I mean, we're talking analytics here. Like, that's a great opportunity to bet Washington for exactly what you just said.
You're just saying that you think Washington is so much better of a team than they were, checks notes, 1 month ago.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that they got helped out in that Lions game. Like, if we're talking about, first of all, the teams that they played at the end of the season, including Jalen Hurts-less Eagles, for the most part, was not exactly murderer's row, okay? So they went on this great winning streak, great for you, but they weren't playing the best teams in the league at that point. This is the winning streak. The Tennessee Titans, the New Orleans Saints, mm-hmm. no Hurts with the Eagles, Atlanta Falcons with Michael Penix making his first start, and then at Dallas when Dallas had nothing to play for, no starters were basically playing in that game for Dallas. So then you go to Tampa. That's a great win. Tampa in this playoffs, great win on the road. And then you went to Detroit, and that's the one everyone's looking at. And it was a fantastic upset.
Yeah.
But the Detroit Lions helped them along to that upset.
But they
didn't come in and dominate.
But who's a better team, the Detroit Lions or the Philadelphia Eagles?
I don't know.
I do, the Lions.
The Lions had 13 defensive players on IR. Here's the thing. The Lions had to help the Commanders. They didn't go in and overwhelm them. That's not how you upset a team when you're an 8.5-point underdog. The Lions turned the ball over, played stupid football, and the Commanders took advantage. So,
well, I mean, again, I think you're not giving the Commanders enough credit there. Offensively, they were in total control. This Jaden Daniels saw the field perfectly, could not get sacked. I mean, they were just perfect offensively.
No,
he's
been clean, but he also got set up pretty nicely because he never had to play from behind.
Okay, let me ask you this. If the Eagles were playing the Lions this week, as everyone kind of expected.
After the first quarter, excuse me.
What would the spread be?
If the Eagles were playing the
Lions in Detroit this weekend, if say the Lions won, it'd be probably the Lions 5.5, right?
No. 5.5? What are you talking about?
Detroit would...
13 defensive players on IR.
I mean, I
They're getting the same home field advantage. It'd be 3 points, maybe 3.5 at the most.
Detroit that blew out the Vikings, that Detroit? Are we talking about the same team? Nobody thought Detroit was going to lose last week. They were huge favorites. What were they, 8.5-point favorites over the Commanders? Did that get up to 9?
No, but here's the thing. Against, like, good teams,
yeah,
the Lions played a lot of those games pretty close. Against the Buffalo Bills, 48-42. San Francisco, 40-34. I mean, better teams at Green Bay, 34-31.
Well, let's do it this way. The Lions are 8.5-point favorites over the Commanders, and the Eagles are 6-point favorites. So that's 2.5-point difference for both home games. Then you add 2.5 or 3 for the home field.
I don't think home field's getting the full 3 anymore.
Well, okay, give it 2. Give it 2.5, you're at 5. I mean, I think the Eagles would have a lot of problems with the Lions. The Lions are great. I know they lost, but the Lions were, if they had beaten the Commanders, everybody would be picking the Lions in this game because Hurts would be hurt.
Okay, but here's the thing. What I'm talking about is how the Commanders got here. And how the Commanders got here is a fantastic story. But let's not pretend that the Lions didn't help them to that upset because Jared Goff was bad.
Yeah, but the same exact thing could happen with the Eagles. A very similar scenario because I think Hurts is not 100%. If Hurts was healthy, I'd pick the Eagles. I would pick them confidently.
Yeah.
I think they would run Hurts right, Barkley left. Hurts left, Barkley right. I think that would control the game, and it'd be awesome. But that's not happening. And I think it reminds me of the latter part of last year when Hurts really fell apart. They couldn't control the game at all, and their defense suffered. This year, their defense is awesome because they get every first down on offense. They're never out on the field.
So if the Eagles lose this game to Washington, yeah, you are the diehard Eagles fan. Yeah. You will not be disappointed. This season would have just been hard luck. And, you know, Jalen Hurts got hurt, so there's no reason for you to be upset. There's no reason for you to be bitter. There's no reason for you to feel disappointed. No, you can't. Because you're going into this game, it's a knife fight going into a gunfight.
I'm not terribly disappointed. Because this year's house money for the Commanders, bit of house money for the Eagles. You have to admit, no one came in this season picking the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl. They were pretty bad last year. You had Nick Sirianni fired, and so did I after week 4. We all did. We're all kind of shocked that Sirianni won all these games. It's not the Bills Chiefs. Like, there is not that kind of pressure on the Eagles. Yeah, it'd be bad. I do not think this would be any kind of huge implosion. The Phillies, for example, to compare it, they lost game 6 and 7 to the Diamondbacks a couple years ago in the league championship series. That was a meltdown. This is not that kind of meltdown. Hurts is hurt. I do not think Philly fans will go ballistic over this one at all. Not even for a second.
Okay. Losing to a division rival and a rookie quarterback at that? I think you're in the minority. 855-212-4227. I feel like I know other Eagle fans, not you. And I don't think they're going to be happy about this. And I don't think they would see it as, what were we supposed to do? They would probably more likely want to run Jalen Hurts out of town.
But if they lost to the Lions, nobody would give them a hard time because they'd be like, yeah, you lost to a better team. You lost to a historic offense.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the game that's in front of you, where you're a 6-point favorite at home facing a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
So you're telling me if the Eagles lose, no disappointment here.
I mean, there's a very good chance you're going to see Kenny Pickett on Sunday. There's a very, very, a lot of people are thinking about it. Like, if there's a backup quarterback in the game, what are you going to do? That's just the reality of football.
Because you think Jalen Hurts is going to get knocked out of the game.
I don't even think he's knocked out implies that someone has to hit him. Like, he might run 3 feet and be like, I can't do this anymore. You saw him in the fourth quarter. They did not tush-push with Jalen Hurts. When has that ever happened? And by the way, if you take that tush-push out, that's another huge factor. Well, that's a huge factor.
We didn't even talk about this too much, but I don't understand why they can't execute the tush-push with someone else.
I know.
Really? Like, you have all training camp. You've got all this time during the week. You're telling me no one else on the team can take a direct snap and run? Saquon Barkley can't do that. Dallas Goedert can't do that. No one else.
I'm curious. Do they just hand it off?
Kenny Pickett can't do it?
I think they're going to hand it off to Saquon. I don't think they're going to do the tush push.
You have this great weapon.
Yeah.
Why can't Saquon take a snap?
Well, remember week one, Cam Jurgens' first time doing the switch was a disaster.
Like, you need,
they learned.
You need a guy with great hands. Right. Initially, there was a learning curve with someone different snapping the ball. So maybe there's a learning curve with someone else taking the hike.
You need great hands on the tush push. Like, you got it. It's all about timing and precision. Like, you don't want Saquon to come in there out of the blue. That's a great point, EJ. I think they're going
to that's why you'd practice it. I know you don't want to necessarily practice the tush push during the week because it probably hurts your defense. Like, that feels like a pretty brutal play, kind of.
Oh, I'm sure they practice it like crazy.
But,
well, here's the thing. The other thing, the officials are after the tush push. There's no doubt about it. We've seen it's been evolving. Like, they're after it hard. The NFL does not like it. And they're going to, I mean, they obviously changed the game with the call on Lane Johnson. They do not like it.
Whole world's against the Eagles. Do you guys know that?
Because the
competition committee actually brought this up and they decided to keep the tush push.
So but
they were really against it and the league was really against it. Why did they keep it?
Go Bird!
I mean, why did they bring it up in the competition committee? It's a perfectly legal play. Why would they bring it up if they didn't have an issue with it?
Well, because nobody was running it up until that point.
Perloff,
if you want to go conspiracy theory, you got to follow this thing all the way through. If you think the world's against the birds, I'm giving you evidence that it's not.
I don't think the world's against the birds. I know the world's against the tush push. That's barely, conspiracy theory thinks it's hidden. Everybody hates the tush push, right? I mean, show me a fan who's not in Philly who thinks that play is legit.
I don't think it's that everyone hates it. I think everyone wonders, why doesn't my team do it?
I think you're misremembering how that all went down. There was a lot of backlash against
the tush push. No, I'm talking about now. Like, if your team doesn't have a quarterback sneak and a tush push, then what are you even doing?
Yeah, I remember that. I don't think the league likes it. I think they think it looks ugly. And they, you know, I think the officials are really going to be important in this game, at both games. But I think especially because of the way the style of Jaden Daniels running and Jalen Hurts running, officials are going to be a very, very big deal on Sunday.
Already setting up. Bird's getting hosed on a call. Let's go to Mark.
I'm pretty good, right?
Who's in Indianapolis. Yes, Perloff is already laying the breadwork, the breadcrumbs and the groundwork to blame the officials. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. I've been on for a while now, but you guys were talking about changing names, and Perloff said that Maggie didn't need to change her name. It was already a good name.
Great name.
Yeah, I agree. And I was thinking, but it's not like a rock star name or anything like that. So I think, you know, what is it, Maggie Gray? And it sounds like it might be like a murder mystery series on TV or something like the Hardy Boys, you know, Maggie Gray in the case of, you know, the missing mic or whatever. So,
wait, Mark, just to be clear, I'm solving the crime here, not committing it.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Like Miss Marple. Anyone know Miss Marple? I know you guys don't know Miss Marple. Agatha Christie's famous detective, Jane Marple, Maggie Gray.
Yeah, Maggie Gray. There you go. Exactly.
Do you understand how many people I would falsely accuse of things? Like, I already think the Cowboys are setting up for a tank. I always think the worst of things. I think Trevor Lawrence should ask for a trade. You know, I'd probably have the wrong guy 99% of the time.
No, but I think Maggie, I think he's right. I think you could dive right into solving murder mysteries. I'm not saying you'd get the right person. You could easily put the wrong man in jail. But I think this would be totally like sifting through evidence, coming up with theories. You'd be awesome at that. And we're talking like 18th century or our early 1900s England, where you know, they have no technology to help. You would be great.
Pre-DNA?
Or like a Barney Fife, you know. Oh,
boy. Like I don't want to be Barney Fife. I know that reference. Now you've given me something to think about, Mark. Is this going to be my second career, maybe my side hustle? Do I solve mysteries?
Well, Maggie, I'm 65. I actually had to write down here what I was going to talk about because I was on hold for so long.
Well, thank you for hanging in. It was worth it.
But anyway, so the other thing was that, you know, Maggie is such a lighthearted name, too. Like, you know, it's like, oh, Maggie, that sounds like a person you want to hang out with. So I agree with Perloff. I think it's a good name, and you shouldn't change it.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. I do like to say that all of us Maggies are a good breed. Never met a Maggie I didn't like.
Who's some famous Maggies? Maggie Rogers, a singer. I know her.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
I don't think Taylor Swift likes her, but...
Not great in Batman, but...
Can't win them all.
She's good in that Secretary movie.
Also, if I had a nickel for every person who wasn't good in Batman, I'd be out solving mysteries.
Not in the Christopher Nolan movies. Those movies are awesome.
Katie Holmes
wasn't good.
She was way better than Maggie G.
Oh, that's tough.
Which one was Maggie Gyllenhaal in?
She was in Dark Knight.
Katie Holmes was in the first
one. They blew her up in the first 30 minutes because
they
were like, she sucks. Katie Holmes survived the first movie. And Maggie picked
is
up
Is that
her.
Really what happened? I never saw Dark Knight.
Oh, Joker blew her up to smithereens.
I don't like seeing Maggie's get that kind of ending.
Batman was trying to get to the warehouse. Ooh. It wasn't even close. He went to the wrong warehouse, actually. Joker totally messed him up.
Oh, Batman.
You know what an idiot. Wrong warehouse.
What a fool. This is why Superman is better or whatever.
I love how I'm telling Maggie this plot. Like, we've all seen this movie like 15 years ago.
I know.
You should watch with your kids, the movie Secretary, Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's a great, inspiring movie.
What's it about?
It's about women empowerment and just like, it's about the secretary who just, it's really, it's totally like a, it's a definitely a family watch.
Okay. Other Maggies, good. Maggie Smith. We do like her. By the way, we've been talking about, people, is this their real name?
Maggie Smith died this year, right?
I know. Yeah. She's one of those people who looked 90 when she was probably like 60 though.
Yeah.
She's been playing an old lady for a long time. But she was great.
Maggie Q.
Familiar with her. She's a model, right?
Yeah, an actress.
Yeah.
Impossible, Mission Impossible 3. She's in 24, I think, one season as well. Love 24.
Perloff was really, I don't know, the bottom fell out today. Your whole world was shaken upside down when you realized some of these actors have fake names.
John Legend? What the heck?
You were just, I guess really I like you like, felt like you've been lied to.
Like, you never meet a Billy Legend. I guess I should have put two and two together.
Well, the biggest one was Jamie Foxx. You couldn't believe that Jamie Foxx, that wasn't his
other name is cool too. Like, why did he change his name?
Eric Bishop?
Yeah, Eric Bishop. I guess that's kind of like the country singer. Oh, no, Eric Church. I don't know. Like, these are all, but most musicians change their names, right? Like,
Red Fox, also, his name is not. Red Fox.
Was Jimmy Fox's but it, no, name but
his
really
real, Fox. His real name, his last name is Sanford, just like the show.
Is that right? Perloff also said Bruno Mars is Peter Hernandez.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
Oh, that could be my cousin.
You should check.
I should.
Although there was that story that Bruno Mars, did this ever get confirmed that he was in major debt to the casino that he was performing at?
Okay. Can I ask a dumb one?
Sure.
Beyonce.
I'm familiar with her. Yeah.
That's real.
Her real name's Beyonce.
Is that her first name?
Yeah, Beyonce name. Knowles, yeah.
What's her? Okay, it's not like a middle name or anything?
Nope.
I think that's a real one. But as we know, Whoopi Goldberg, not Whoopi Goldberg. That one also crushed you a little bit.
No, I didn't. I knew her name wasn't Whoopi. That's the thing. Like, I never even considered like she was, her God-given name was Whoopi, W-H-O-O-P-I.
You know, it's funny because Alicia Keys, not what? Alicia Keys.
What's she?
A little on the nose, too, because she plays piano. Alicia Cook.
I did not know that. That's new information to me.
And I'm surprised we haven't gotten to this yet. We'll get to it next. I'm surprised that Manny and Bogush haven't, that we haven't talked about one certain story yet. Because I had a feeling that Manny and Bogush were going to come in looking real sad and just not about the Giants and nothing about the Rangers or anything like that. Just real sad. 855-212-4227. Get to that. We also have picks to make and a lot more football to talk about. Don't move.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. The theme of the day is celebrities who change their name or people whose names are not what we think they are. There are a lot of NFL quarterbacks who we don't know their names. You would think it's the most famous position in sports. We know all their names. We do not. I'll give you one. I gave it to you the break. Yeah. CJ Stroud. I had never heard anyone refer to him as his first name.
I had no idea what it was.
Coleridge Bernard CJ Stroud IV. Will Levis.
It's not Will Levis.
Nope. It's William.
Oh, God.
That one doesn't count. I did not know this. Deshaun Watson.
What is it?
Derek.
Deshaun's the middle name?
Deshaun's the middle name.
I'm surprised they didn't come out considering all the court affidavits that we were privy to.
Mac Jones. This one's kind of famous because when he makes a bad play, people tweet about this. McCorkle. Michael McCorkle Jones. Bo Nix. See if you could ever guess that one. I'd be shocked.
No, I don't know it.
Joshua.
It is Bo. B-O. It's his real name. Now, I'm going to make, actually, Andrew Bogus is going to help me with this one. Can you please say Tua's real first name? I'll let you Google it.
No, I cannot.
Tua's short for something?
Oh, is yeah. It is short for a lot of something.
It's a huge favor that he goes by Tua.
Oh, but that's for us.
Yeah, look at Tua's name. It is, it's got like 23 letters.
Oh, I see it now. Well, his middle name is Donnie. He could have been Donnie Tugabaloa.
Yeah.
We also would have been bailed out there.
Yeah, I don't know how we got onto this theme. I am really Andrew James Perloff. AJ. A few people
could
call me
AJ Perloff.
Yeah, some people call me AJ. My grandfather, I think.
That's a miss. You could have been AJ Perloff this whole time.
No, I've been Pearl since I was 9 years old. Nobody ever called me anything until I became McLovin on the Dan Patrick Show. And then I was McLovin.
I know.
And now,
could have kept that, but some legalese got in our way.
Yeah, very few people call me Andy. Only some relatives, and I get even Andrew. People don't look at me as an Andrew. I don't know why.
Thank you. How may I help you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was the woman who, when Ipe Mizuhara, yeah, Shohei's interpreter, who's been indicted for fraud, we now have the audio of him calling the bank, pretending to be Shohei for a wire transfer. That's how we got onto this. Because she didn't react at all when he says, I'm the most famous baseball player in the world. And she's like, oh, right. How can I help you, Shohei?
Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, actually, it started.
Shohei Ohtani. Thank you. How may I help you?
Good game last night.
I had no idea that Tom Cruise wasn't named Tom Cruise. That really surprised me. I'm an idiot.
I know. Next, we're going to tell, well, I don't want to say someone's not real who comes down the chimney. Perloff's whole world got blown up.
Yeah,
today.
I'm like, why is that guy, why does he have the coolest last name ever and he can jump out of planes and movies? Of course it's a fake.
I know. Perloff's like, man, why can I be named Vin Diesel? Aw.
Yeah.
You look the part at least. Of a Vin Diesel.
Yeah, no, I get confused a lot with him.
You know, there's a locally here, I think she might actually work nationally now, but there was a weather woman in New York whose name was Amy Freeze, which is the perfect name.
Yeah.
And that's her name.
Yeah, it's her name.
Crazy.
I've been to happy hours with Amy. We have some friends in common. She's a delight. Her name's Amy Freeze. It's like a perfect name for being a meteorologist.
Yep.
Couldn't have scripted it better.
She had one choice in life.
Yeah, I mean, what's the famous one? Storm, right? Storm Fields.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I assume his real name is not Storm.
Do you remember the broadcaster from back in the day, Stone Phillips?
Yes.
Do you think that was his real name?
Back in the day, Stone Phillips not around anymore?
I don't think he's working.
EJ and Manny have no idea. Have you ever heard of Stone Phillips?
Negative Ghost Rider.
I thought he was a mutant. Like an X-Man or something.
Yeah.
I mean.
What comic books
did he host Dateline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is still with us, by the way.
I think he was sneaky handsome, too, Stone Phillips.
Stone Phillips was a fox.
Yeah, I think Stone Phillips.
Fox.
Yeah, he was kind of a fox. Classic broadcaster look.
So it's weird. Storm Field, who's a weatherman, right, in New York?
Mm-hmm.
His real name was Elliot David Field, and he went with Storm.
Oh, I get it.
Good choice.
We always wonder if you name your kid something, can they be anything else? Like, I remember covering a kid in high school. High school football, his name was Steel DeVito. I'm like, it's going to be weird if you become, like, a periodontist. it's like a waste.
Or like a concert violinist named Steel DeVito.
Yeah, it's like, you should be a linebacker. That's about it.
I just covered a basketball player. His name is Boogie.
Yeah, Boogie.
What's his last name?
That's a nickname, though.
Fland.
Oh,
I know, he's out for the year.
Is that a... That's a nickname. Right?
That's a nickname.
Yeah, John Well is his real name.
Yeah.
See, John Well, that can be your accountant. That's fine.
Then there's like weird nicknames, too. Because I remember going around, I played against a guy named Face.
That's it?
Face. Because he had a huge head. And his face was big, so they just called him Face.
Wait a minute. Massive head, and they chose to call him Face? Why don't you just call him Head?
I think we know why.
Sorry. All right. Jeez, EJ.
He was 11.
Do I need the dumb button?
I'm sorry. It might sound stupid.
He doesn't get it still.
Do you have a lot of accountants named John Well? I stopped on that. And I was like, yeah, your accountant could be named John Well. I'm like, wait, what's that name?
I mean, my accountant's name's Justin, but it could be John Well. We still use him.
Johnuel. Is that a common spelling of
John Well?
John Well.
Yeah, I think that's the common spelling.
I think that's the only spelling.
Sorry to put your government out there, Boogie.
Face, you're safe.
Face. Man, that's a dig, too. Because he knows
he embraced it.
Is he handsome, at least? It was ironic.
I mean, normal looking besides having a big head.
It's like calling someone handsome, like, hey, handsome Dan or something, and you're actually kind of average looking.
Or they call, big guy Slim.
Yeah.
Hey, Slim.
Those ones I like. If your nickname is Fat, you can't be more than 125 pounds.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, also not his real name. Can you believe that?
We know that. Dominic is in San Francisco. What's up, Dom?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It's freezing. It's very early here. I'm walking my dog. The two most famous name changes probably are Caitlyn Jenner and Muhammad Ali. the most famous Maggie is Maggie in the Rod Stewart song. And we need to cease and desist on the sniveling about Jalen Hurts and his injury.
Dominic, I'll agree with you on the last one. And yeah, you're right, probably about the name changes. I mean, the Caitlyn Jenner one is a whole other situation. Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, those are probably the most famous ones, but for religious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I get Caitlyn Jenner, different category. We're talking
totally
about
different category.
Talking about Jamie Foxx changing his name for a stand-up comedy career. It's a little different.
A little bit different. Also, it's 49 degrees right now in San Francisco. Come on,
I would
guys.
Kill for 49 degrees.
It's
right
like
now.
Four Oof. Degrees here. Not to try to one up you on the weather there, Dominic, but Bogish has headlines. What's up?
All right, let me just get my light on here. 1 second, guys. Is this working better?
Is this working?
Feel left out.
Perloff brought lights for us.
Am I like a campfire guy now?
You can tell us
the
a spooky
Jaguar
story.
Is hired.
If you can watch us on YouTube right now, we got all you these can, different lights.
Yeah, you guys are all lit up. There's extra makeup. What's going on in here?
We're getting ready for the Super Bowl. Dude.
These are little lights that I actually bought for my family because I thought it'd be cool. But they didn't even want them, so I'm bringing them in here. These were Christmas presents. They came. It was one of those Christmas presents I ordered on Black Friday. They arrived on January 14th. I'm dead serious.
Was that a link that was sent to you?
Yeah.
A link was sent to you?
Yeah, it was sent to another Andrew Perloff, and I'm like, oh, that's a good deal. I'm going to buy some of these ring lights, too.
By the way, got that all cleared up yesterday. You guys were clowning me.
Not me, Maggie.
Yes, Bogish was behind me that I was getting emails for a different Maggie Gray, and she was going to miss an appointment. So I called the people she had the appointment with, and we got it all cleared up.
Wasn't a scam. There was a different Maggie Gray,
yeah,
wrong email
wasn't a
address.
Scam. Perloff said I was going to need LifeLock after this. I'm like, it's not a Nigerian prince. It's an H&R Block in Ohio. It's fine. And I mean, thought I did a good deed.
Thank God, too. Because if you didn't do the steps you did yesterday, she never would have had her H&R Block appointment in January. She would have not filed her taxes, and she would probably go to prison someday. You saved a person's life.
I was going to say, I don't want to have to bail out another Maggie.
Another?
Well, there's been a couple. Bogues, what do you got?
Here's the
How many Maggies do you know?
Maggie,
no,
Maggie, by the way, doesn't have...
She built herself out.
She doesn't have an H&R Block. She just calls her accountant John Rell.
He takes care of it. We get a huge refund. I'm not asking any questions.
Haven't paid taxes in 8 years. John Will's great at his job.
By the way, I'll be doing the next couple of shows from Venezuela.
H&R Clink is the
it's actually H Block. R Block.
Now that Boogie Flans heard he could actually do your taxes, thank God.
They've really been piling up.
Literally the only John Will I can find anywhere. And you're like, well, John Will, that could be an accountant's name.
Yeah. I'll get around to those taxes at some point. They actually asked me, like, do you need any help? I was like, no, I got it. Knock, knock, here are the feds.
All right, let's try this again. Here's the simplified timeline. The regular season ends. The Jaguars fire head coach Doug Peterson, but not GM Trent Baalke. The rest of the industry says Trent's not good at his job. He'll hamper your coaching search. Shad Khan said in front of Baalke he could fire him if necessary. Well, it became necessary after Ben Johnson took the Bears job and Liam Cohen went back to Tampa Bay with a raise, fired Baalke early this week, and now Cohen is expected, I can read, I do need that light, to be the Jaguars' next head coach, maybe as soon as today. Meanwhile, still nothing official out of Dallas about Brian Schottenheimer's promotion to head coach, and the Saints are holding a second interview today with Miami D coordinator Anthony Weaver. Not that there was any doubt Nikola Jokic should be an all-star starter, but we got this last night.
1.7 seconds left for Denver. Inbound to Jokic from 78 feet. Got it at the horn! Oh, my God! From 78 feet! Joker! Baseball pass! Throws that thing home! Oh, my heart's going to explode.
Jason Kosmicki clinging to life on Nuggets Radio.
There's medication for that. I'm worried about that guy.
Jokic's third quarter buzzer beater, the headliner of a 35-point night, 22 rebounds, 17 assists, his fifth triple-double in a row. He's gotten all five before the fourth quarter. The Nuggets outscored the Kings last night, 132-123.
He's so good.
Jokic, LeBron, KD, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Steph Curry voted West starters. It's Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, and leading vote-getter Giannis from the East for a game That'll feature, don't forget, a four-team mini-tournament. Reserves are revealed next week. Steph and the Warriors took care of the Bulls last night, 131-106, and Giannis and the Bucks dumped the Heat, 125-96, in a game that started an hour late because Milwaukee didn't get back from New Orleans until yesterday afternoon following that snowstorm in the south. A left leg muscle tear forced Novak Djokovic to retire from his Australian Open semifinal with Alex Zverev today after just one set. Zverev now faces top-seeded Jannik Sinner for the title on Sunday. Sinner just missed American Ben Shelton in straight sets. College hoops last night. Maryland, a 91-70 rout at number 17, Illinois. And women's number one, UCLA, stayed perfect, 84-66 at Rutgers. Lauren Betts, 25 points, 13 boards, and 5 blocks. And another goal for Alex Ovechkin.
Here's Ovechkin toward the empty net. It's in! Off the draw! And a puck that goes in for Alex Ovechkin. How about that? With 3:28 to go, an empty netter, and that's what they came to see.
That's John Walton on Caps Radio. Ovechkin capping off a 3-0 win in Seattle. A 6-game run now for Washington. For Ovi, it's career goal number 875, which now means he needs 20 to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most all time.
Wayne Gretzky, the coach?
Yeah.
You mean the guy on TNT, that Wayne Gretzky?
Same.
We were talking about how, what'd you say, Perloff, that young people today don't even remember Tom Brady?
No, I say that soon they will forget Tom Brady, because I've seen interviews with young basketball players who really don't know anything about Jordan other than the shoe. I'm telling you, people forget fast.
I know, but Brady just won a Super Bowl like five years ago. It's not that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, in 5 years from now, that'll be 10 years, and say you're 16 years old and a big sports fan, that means you were 6 when he last won. It's math, Maggie.
Thanks, Pearl. Mansplaining
math. I mansplained the math, too. Call your accountant with that math.
Got John Well on line 2. Oh, we're all going to end up in prison. 855-212-4227. Just kidding. We got picks to make. NFL picks. They come your...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're way next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, championship weekend is here. We've got picks we've got to make. And Perloff, you know, I got to give you a lot of credit.
Yes.
I do appreciate one thing about the you're showing me a little grace this weekend, and I think a different man would not have shown me this grace.
Oh my God, I have no idea what you're going.
Even
for.
Though you tried to mansplain math to me in the last segment,
it's math, Maggie.
Yeah, thank you. I still have trouble with it, but you you realize that I've been consistent about something all year long when we make picks.
Oh, yes. This is important to you.
This is important to me. I know it might sound stupid or silly if you're on the outside, but you know to me it is very important that I do not bet on Buffalo.
Yeah,
I don't like to bet the games. I can't handle it. I'm already way too emotionally invested. And so I appreciate the fact that we're down to 2 games, 4 teams. There's not a lot of options to bet here, but you're letting me recuse myself from betting on the Bills-Chiefs game. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think a different man would not let me do that. Because it's not really in the spirit of what we've been doing all season. Meanwhile, I will still make 5 picks, though.
Okay, so we're going to do five picks. So
that's just math.
But if that rule applies to you, that means that I can add an extra prop instead of one of the traditional spread and total picks that we do.
I'll let you, because you've been so kind to me about this, about my weird hang-up, but you bet for and against the Eagles all the time.
I know. Well, that's the one team I know the best, so I feel like I can predict predict what they're going to do.
All right. EJ, let us know if you have our records, please.
Maggie and Perloff's NFL picks.
Okay, so Maggie, last week you went 2-2-1. That brought you to 50-49-1 for the year. Perloff, you went 3-2. So that brought you to 48-50-2.
Gosh, it's so close. It's crazy.
These ties make it your life hard, EJ.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you for totaling all that.
All right, you want to start us off? Five picks. That's how we're doing it today. A combination of against the spreads, totals, and props.
Okay. As I have said all week, I'm taking the Commanders. I see the number at plus six right now.
The Commanders.
Nick Costas earlier mentioned it could go to 6.5, which I'm sure it'll just like it did last week. So I got the Commanders. I've explained it all week long. I think Jaden Daniels' legs are and fourth down are the key difference here. Hopefully the Eagles win a close game. I'm taking Buffalo plus two on MGM right now. It's at 1.5 at DraftKings. I'm taking the two number. I just looked it up because it's been vacillating between the two. It really doesn't make a huge difference, but my thinking is simple. It's time. I mean, come on. Eventually, the ball is going to bounce your way, Maggie. I have the over.
Normally, I would say Perloff is being just like a mush, but you picked the Bills last week, and they beat the Ravens, so
yeah,
I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going over on 48.5 in the Bills-Chiefs games. again, simple logic. Obviously, you have Mahomes. You have Josh Allen. They always seem to play at like 26-23. They live in those mid-20s. It's going to be tight. But I'll go with that one. I am actually going to go for two props.
Okay.
I'm taking one that Nick Costas mentioned, but I had it written before. Austin Eckler over 2.5 receptions. And I pitched this to Nick. He was down with it. Noah Gray, Kansas City Chiefs tight end, over 1.5 receptions. Because all the attention goes to Kelsey, that leaves Noah Gray open. It's tough as the Chiefs spread it out, but I like that one. I do, by the way, and I'm not picking, but I love that Xavier Worthy over that Nick mentioned too.
That was yards.
Over yards, because you said draft night, Xavier Worthy is going to catch a touchdown in the playoffs to beat my Bills.
Mm-hmm.
You said that in April.
I did.
So just the fact that it was called out 8 months ago makes me think, ooh, that could happen.
Yeah.
So that's my five picks, over 48.5 in the Bills Chiefs. Buffalo plus two, Washington plus six, Noah Gray over 1.5, Austin Eckler over 2.5 receptions.
Okay, so Perloff again is letting me recuse myself about betting on Bills Chiefs because I'm just I'd be a puddle. I just can't add money and pride on top of this. The game itself is hard enough. So let's go to the Eagles and Commanders game. I'm going to fade the public here and Perloff. We're going to go head to head on this one. I'm going to take the Eagles and I'm going to lay the six.
Go Bird!
I feel like everyone and their mom is picking the Commanders. So a simple fade of the public. I've also explained through the last couple days all the ways that this could potentially go wrong for the Commanders that no one is like leaving space for. It's been all about Jalen Hurts' knee, and there's been nothing about a rookie quarterback has never done this before, rookie quarterback on the road, Vic Fangio having something dialed up for Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn in big games. I mean, I could go on and on. I just think that the Eagles here are the better team, and even if Hurts is compromised, give me the Eagles and I'll lay the six. I'm also going to go head-to-head to you on the totals. I'm going to go under on both.
Wow.
I know. Especially that Bills-Chiefs one, probably not great if I think that the Bills are going to win. So I guess I am kind of betting on the Bills, weirdly.
But
it's different. The total is different.
I got to be honest. I picked over, but you're right. They both want to control the ball, right?
Yeah, I think this is just more about, I have no idea. You know, I'm not betting on the winner, but as far as the total, I'm going to go under, which is a shame because I think if the Bills are going to win, they probably need to score a lot. So.
You want to know why? One of the reasons I wanted over, I think overtime's a possibility here. That would hurt you. What if you had the under and then it went to OT?
It would be like the sixth time that's happened this year. I've lost many bets, many ways.
Almost happened to your Bills last Sunday, too.
I've lost a lot of different ways. So I'm going to go under on both games. I'm going to go Saquon Barkley over 24 and a half carries. Simple. I feel like I'm watching him do this matter what.
You've had some success.
And they're going down with the ship. Like, even if you are behind, I still think that Barkley is going to get his. And I'm going to go, this is the controversial one.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Jaden Daniels under 10 and a half carries.
The Commanders.
I think the game plan is all about stopping Jaden, containing him, corralling him, something.
Yeah.
And I think they have, Vic Fangio, if I know this, Vic Fangio certainly knows this, and that's got to be the path.
What if there are three kneel downs at the end of the game for carries? What if Washington wins?
I've lost bets that way.
The kneel down is the worst. Know what the worst is? When the kneel down, you lose a yard on each kneel down, and the total of the quarterback's rushing total goes under like 8 for Jared Goff or something.
I've totally lost bets that way. 100%. We all have. So there you go. I'm going to do the Eagles lay the 6. I'm going under on both games. Barkley, 24 and a half carries, and Jaden Daniels under 10 and a half carries.
We haven't talked about one giant elephant in the room. It's possible either one of our teams is going to lose. One of us is going to walk in sad. Both of us are going to walk in sad. Both of us are going to walk in happy. This is a lot on the line here. It's like, I feel like we don't even want to talk about the fact that it could be an Eagles-Bills Super Bowl, or it could be a weekend of heartbreak for one of us.
Well, I know you so well that even if the Eagles lose, you'll come up with an excuse. You'll somehow find a way.
I wonder what my excuse will be. I mean, the guy, Jalen Hurts, is actually playing with a cast on his knee, as far as I can tell.
I know. He's just out there with crutches, hobbling. How's he going to do anything? This is a lot of emotional currency for the show going to go down this weekend. On the line.
But you have such an advantage, though, because you're so used to this.
Yeah, thank you. I knew that was coming. Scar tissue.
I like your Bills. Come on. Let's go Buffalo. I'm trying to get on that bandwagon if they win, by the way.
Listen, I said this to EJ, and I said it to Manny during a break. I just hit him in the talk back, and I said, what, guys? Bills are going to win.
She did say that, yes.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Nick Costos, Weedos Coffee Drinkers. You guys are the best. See you Monday.